And Jesus prayed, "Protect them in your name, so that they may be one, as we are one. In the name of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Amen. Please do be seated, my friends. This day has been anticipated for a long time. The papers were written and graded. The finals have all been taken. The graduates line up in their matching robes and their ill-fitting mortarboards. The programs have been printed, and the dean of students has practiced pronouncing the names and will probably still say them wrong. And then this afternoon, my husband and I will be celebrating with our daughter as she receives her master's degree. The only person happier than Sarah is me. And with solemn words and beautiful music and a nice commencement speaker, she and her colleagues will be sent off into the world. And almost as soon as that diploma is put in their hands, you know the question is going to be asked, "Now what are you going to do?" Or more likely, "Have you gotten a job yet?" And yes, she has, thank God, she's a teacher. Yay! So, even as we celebrate, and there are more families than just mine celebrating graduations and milestones this weekend, Jay and Nancy are celebrating her daughter's graduation. So we come to all these fabulous endings, and you know what? It seems like we have almost no time to rest, because each accomplishment leads us to a place of new beginning, doesn't it? So you get to celebrate for a nanosecond, and then you have to go on to the next big task. There's always a new start, and we always have to make sense of it. What does this mean? What do we need to do now? What are we going to do? You know, it'd be nice to think about resting on our laurels for a little while, but we all know that's fantasy. There's always another step. Life keeps changing. Someone said that this morning to me. Life keeps changing. Yeah, it does, and we just have to keep up. Because the alternative to the changing is to never change anymore, and you know that means we're probably dead. So we just keep changing and moving forward. We can't rest on the glory of the past. We can't rest on what we used to do, or our memories, or our endowment. We have to live into the future. Is the future ever a certain thing? Not a rhetorical question. Thank God Monica's shaking her head. No, the future is always uncertain. We never really know what's going to happen. We think we do. You know, John Lennon once said, "Life is what happens while you're busy making other plans." So our life unfolds, and we have to keep up with it. So there's no more delaying. It's time to move on for Sarah and for the rest of us. Now what are we going to do? I think that must have been the question that the disciples asked while they watched Jesus ascend into heaven. This last Thursday was Ascension Thursday, which we don't really celebrate in this parish with services, but it is the day, according to the tradition, that Jesus was lifted up into heaven in the sight of his disciples. And they kind of stood there looking at the heavens for a little while, wondering what they were going to do next. And you know what happened? Angels came to them and said, "Men of Galilee, what are you staring at? You have work to do. Go on." Which is my interpretation of what it says in the book of Acts. But really, the angels were like, "What are you going to do now? Because you need to move on." So the resurrection changed the disciples. And then the ascension changed them again. They had been hiding in that upper room, remember? They were terrified. And now, as we hear in the book of Acts, they're walking around with boldness, preaching the gospel of Jesus and telling people, "The kingdom of God is among you. What do you expect to do about it?" But they're also in an in-between time, because without Jesus, they know that they need to move forward, and they're short a disciple. Remember, they lost Judas. He had betrayed Jesus, and then he went and he committed suicide, and they were down to 11. They choose another apostle today to replace Judas. not because there was some deep theological reason that they needed to have 12 apostles, but because they knew that that was how they had done it before. Jesus had chosen 12, and so they decided to go back to that number and then move forward. They have no idea what the church is going to look like. They have no idea what sort of work they're going to be called to do. But they do know that there is work ahead and that they need to do it together. So they're in a time of uncertainty, and they're trying to be faithful, and they're doing what they know how to do already. Sound familiar, my friends? At St. John's, okay, we're not exactly sure what the future is going to be. We're not that unique. Many churches are in that same position. We're all worried about numbers. We're all worried about money. We could wait for specific directions from on high, you know, from God, from the bishop. Maybe we could hope that some angels will show up and say, "What are you looking at? What are you doing?" You could wait for me to tell you what to do, but I'm not sure I have the answer either. So we're all kind of in this together. But we do know what we can do and what we can do well. We know that we can be faithful, and we do that well. We know that we need to do something with our property, and we're trying to figure that out as we go. We know that we have to pay our bills. You could help with that, just saying. And we expect that we will continue to be the Episcopal presence in Waterbury. And we are the big, visible Episcopal presence. So here we are, waiting for direction from God. Our anxiety, sometimes it grows, because we want to look for familiar signs of success. What does success look like in the church? Well, in the past, success has looked like lots of people attending and lots of activity. We count our money and the number of people who come in the door, because those things have been those traditional measures. But, you know, they're not the only measure of vitality. In a world that no longer values religious participation, did you see the Pew report this week? The one that says that religious participation is down all across the board. The largest religious group in this country is no longer Roman Catholics. It's people who say they have no religion at all. The Catholics are now number two. Anybody who came from the Catholic Church, scary, right? So the country doesn't value religious participation. We also don't value participation in much of anything. So the Elks and all the other fraternal clubs, the Lions, their membership is down too. PTA membership is down. Maybe we need to think about different measures to quantify success rather than just bodies in the door and money in the collection basket. So I have to say that I count as a success that most of the good things that have happened in St. John's in the last couple of years have been accomplished not by our staff, but by our faithful membership. I count that as a success that we have a children's church group that work every week, a small group of people, with the kids who are in the church to teach them what we're reading in the lectionary, to have a celebration that's age-appropriate for the young people. I count as a success that we've had an active and engaged task force for repurposing our parish house, and that has been entirely populated by people from the parish, although we have hired a few outside consultants. I count it as a success that our people are looking for different ways to engage with the community, and for that reason, we are supporting a study program for kids in churches in Waterbury that is not located here, but is located across town. And we have given them supplies that they need. All of these things have bubbled up from the grassroots of our parish. So while there are certainly people who have gifts of leadership among us, most of our acts of caring and helping planning and giving and even singing come from regular members of our parish. And their gift has been a contribution to the larger group, meaning the parish at large, the community gathered here. Our success is that we're working together. It's a really good thing, and it is from the bottom up, not from the top down. When Jesus was finishing his last meal with his disciples before he was arrested and crucified, he prayed for them. That was the gospel we listened to this morning. Jesus prays for their unity, that they will remain connected to God and to each other. He prays for their protection, not that they can escape from the dangers of the world, but that they will be free to act within the world. Jesus prays for their joy, that they might have the joy that Jesus has to face suffering and to find their own resurrection. And finally, he prays to send them out to do the work that he himself began, to reconcile the world to God, to be part of God's hands in the world. Did you notice? Jesus doesn't pray for them to be comfortable. In fact, Jesus spent most of his ministry making people profoundly uncomfortable. He never prays for them to be comfortable. He prays for our work. He prays that we will do what God needs us to do. And because of this prayer, you know, there are some things that we can expect. Jesus prays for our unity. We can expect our unity to be challenging work, because it is, to work united together when we are all so different. Jesus prays for our new life. The new life he promises comes through resurrection after the end of the old life. And that's not easy either. But the old life ends whether we want it to or not. We need to move on. Jesus prays for our protection from the forces of evil. And we can expect that we will confront the forces of evil in our work that seek to divide us and to undermine us. Jesus prays that God will send us out just as God sent Jesus out. And this is a glorious calling. It's a wonderful and blessed vocation to share in God's good news. But we also have to remember that most people did not welcome the message of Jesus in his time. So we know that it will not be a slam dunk. This will not be easy. And yet we are up to it, because the Holy Spirit will empower us to do this. So we cannot know our future, and none of us reads the crystal ball. But we know the work to which we've been called. We may never know the long-term impact that the work we do has in Waterbury. And we cannot even be sure that the work that we do will be called a success, at least not by the usual measures of the world. But I've noticed that we're doing the work anyway. We're kind of like that graduate who crosses the stage not knowing what is to come. And yet, we're not like that graduate, because, you know, we're not up on the stage by ourselves. We have each other, and we have God with us. And as we move forward into our new life, we will have each other, and we will have God with us. We're a community of faith, doing good and daring things, and going where people have not gone before. That's okay. We'll be walking with God. We'll be using our gifts and trying to share God's love in the world. God has been faithful to his disciples in the past. God will be faithful to us in the future. Let the church say amen.
Amen.